Well, good morning, guys. Don't know if this is this working okay? It's so great to be here. As Carl wonderfully introduced us, my name's Daniel and my wife Kathleen is here somewhere. I think she might be up. We are from Northern Ireland. We've lived there for the last 10 years. I grew up in a little town called Corian. My wife is from Rapid City, South Dakota, which is in the middle of absolute nowhere. But that fact, she actually lives beside Mount Rushmore, you know, the faces with the presidents on the rocks. So that's about the only thing interesting in her town, so hence why we live in Northern Ireland. But we've been living in Northern Ireland and part of an incredible community there in a church called Cosby Coast Vineyard for about the last 10 years. And we're just thrilled to be here. Honestly, we feel really humble that you would invite us to come, humble that you would kind of ask us to speak this morning. And honestly, what Carol already shared is part of what I'm going to share this morning. But I'd love us just to take a moment and pray just before I start, just for my sake, probably more for yours. So Father, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. We welcome you. I thank you that you want to meet with us this morning. Yeah, thank you for your peace that's in this room, for your presence. I just pray for whatever said this morning that you would take the words and put it in people's hearts. We love you, Father. Amen. Amen. So this morning I have a wonderful 15-point sermon that's going to be at 45 minutes long. So, no, I'm just kidding, really. It's going to be nice and short, really simple message this morning. What I wanted to talk about and what I felt like God wanted me to speak on this morning was really about the nature of God and who He is. You see, when we read through Scripture, we get these glimpses of what God's like, being up here in creation. There's no doubt that God is an incredible creator. And as we read through Scripture, we see different aspects of His nature. So God is provider, therefore He provides. And some of the names throughout Scripture, like Jehovah Jireh, which is God is my provider, and God is our creator. There's so many aspects to who God is. And what's interesting about the nature of God, and as we read through Scripture and we look at what He's like, there's all of these things that He does, but we see in the prayer that Jesus taught us, Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father. So while God has all these aspects to His nature which are incredible, He's actually chosen to relate to me and you in the context of family, as a father. And it's important that we start with that this morning, because that's how He wants to relate to us. He invites us into a personal relationship. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to talk to Him. And that's the nature of the relationship that He's wanted with humanity all along. That's what He started with in Adam and Eve. And then through Jesus, we get to step into that this morning. And the aspect of God this morning that I really want to speak into is the idea that God is good. So God is good, and God is better than you think He is. And this morning I want to take some time just to unpack that and the significance of that. As much like what Carl shared earlier, sometimes we go through life and we experience lots of different things, and it can be challenging, and we can focus on what God's not doing instead of being thankful for what He has done and who He is and His goodness. So I want to jump into a verse in John. So John 5, verse 19, I'm going to read that. If you've ever read through the Old Testament into the New Testament, there's lots of different scriptures that talk about who God is. But when we look at the Bible as a whole, the person of Jesus is the complete revelation of who God is. It's the last word on how God is relating to humanity. And I'm going to read this verse out of John 5. It should come up on the screen behind. This is what Jesus said. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. The Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He does. Yes, and He will show Him even greater works than these, so that you too will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even the Son gives life to whom He is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. And what this really speaks to is that Jesus is the full revelation of God. That he's the complete understanding. Everything that we see in the life of Jesus, everything that he did, he came to heal the sick, he came to set people free, he came with compassion and love, he came to give his own life up so that we could have life. That is the full revelation of God. And in that we see that Jesus is eternally good. His nature is so good. And that's who God is. God is a God of who is good. And that's what I really want to speak into this morning. See, I don't know about you, that truth about God is God being good is something that we can speak out loud, that we can say in church, but sometimes in life it can be a little bit harder to believe, right? It's easier to believe when we're younger, but as life happens to us, as we grow up, as we experience difficulty, trial, loss, pain and suffering, as those things enter into our lives, the goodness of God often comes into question. Well, God, why did my friend die of cancer? If you're good, why did that happen? And so life in the circumstances that we experience often challenges that question, is God really good? And I want to remind you this morning that God is good. It's either true or it's not true. And I believe this morning that God is good. We see that in the person of Jesus. So then how do we navigate the world around us when we experience such pain and loss and suffering, as you mentioned this morning, what happened in Texas? How do we put that in the context of God is good? And there's a few things that are helpful for us to look at when we're thinking of navigating life in that way. First of all, the nature of the world that we live in is broken and fallen. It is not yet made perfect. And so it's helpful for us to understand that's the nature of the world that we live in. We experience the effect of sin and brokenness and suffering because that's the world we live in. And it's important for us to recognize that's not God's original design or intention. Although he may use what the enemy means for bad for good, although he is a God who redeems every situation, it's not his intention, it's not his original design, and it doesn't come from him. The other thing that's important to remember is, if God's nature is good, and we can see that in the revelation of Jesus, the other side of the coin is that we have an enemy. We have a devil that is bad. And I want to just read a verse out of John again. John 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and life to the full." Do you see the contrast there? So the effect, almost the calling card of the enemy is to steal, kill, and destroy. You see, the truth about God is he cannot give you what he doesn't have. If God is good, then he only has good things for you. It says that in James 1, verse 17. God is the perfect Father of heavenly lights, and he delights in giving good gifts to his children. And so when we come into life and begin to experience the difficulty and circumstance, what often can be the temptation is that we begin to redefine who God is. We begin to lose trust in our relationship with God, and through questions we can lose that connection with him. But the nature of God doesn't change, even in the midst of our circumstances. And I know this morning, as all of us have come in, we all have our own stuff, our own challenges. It might be relationally, it might be in finance, it might be in a number of things. But I want to say this morning that God is good in the midst of that. And so how do we navigate through life? How do we move through life, stay in that connection and relationship with God, despite experiencing what we do? And there's a couple of things this morning that I want us to encourage us in that. A number of years ago, when my wife was giving birth to our first daughter, called Madison, we kind of pride ourselves on, you know, we eat really well, we try to do all the right things, and we did all the birthing plans. If you've had kids, you know, we do all the right things, and you're kind of making sure you have exercise. And so when it came to Madison being born, we had high hopes that it would all go well. And so we were expecting, we were praying, we're doing everything right. And unfortunately, the birth of Madison was a quite a difficult one. My wife labored for about 54 hours, which is just a long, long time to see your wife in a lot of pain. And in the midst of that, it was just like, well, how's this going to end? We got to 54 hours and we were both tired, exhausted. Obviously, my wife more tired. Goodness, I was just watching. I have to be careful how I portray this. I did do nothing. I didn't do anything. But it's hard, right? It's hard watching somebody you care about go through so much much pain. I'm like, God, why is this taking so long? And we got to R54, and the doctor, I remember distinctly sitting, and it was about 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning, and the doctor comes in, and after a kind of different doses of drugs and trying to make this thing kind of happen, the doctor finally says, hey, we've got to go straight in for an emergency C-section. Things aren't looking good. And I remember in that moment, you know, it was fairly real for me as a new dad, thinking about that moment of uncertainty. You know, when uncertainty enters your life, where you're going, this is a major surgery. This is one of the major surgeries of life, just below a heart surgery. And in that uncertainty, thinking, there's a chance right now I could possibly lose my wife and possibly lose my child. And I sat back in the chair, and my wife is there, and she couldn't see me, and I just began to weep. And I'm like, God, why? Why is this happening to us right now? We thought we did everything right. We thought that you loved us. All the things that surround. And I remember in that moment just wrestling with the question of, why does this happen to us? And I'm sure you have a circumstance or an experience of life where you've had that question. I want to say this morning, God is not afraid of our questions. Sometimes we don't get answers in that, and that's okay. But in that moment, I sat back in the chair and I began to think, and I knew I had one thing that I could do in that moment. You see, in all of eternity, we have this short thing called life. And I remember in that moment going, this is the most uncertain, the most difficult moment of my life. And it was in that moment I was like, God, I'm going to choose to worship you. I'm going to choose to give thanks for who you are and all that you've done, even though it all might go in this moment. And so in those moments, thankfulness, as you know, Carol shared this morning, thankfulness is actually the gateway to entering into a relationship with God in that moment. Even though we don't see, that's the essence of faith, we not see the outcome. But in that moment, we get to offer God a thankfulness and praise that is actually quite significant. Because if you think about all of eternity, in this life is filled with uncertainty in different moments. Once we get to heaven, we'll have the full revelation of who God is, and we will be on our faces worshiping Him because we get to see Him in perfect and the perfection that He is. So there's no question, we will all be on our faces worshiping. But in this life, when we don't see Him clearly, we're in those moments of difficulty and circumstance. Those are the moments where we really get to give Him an offering of worship that we can't at any other point in life. It's what I want to encourage you this morning is that in the middle of difficulty and circumstance, whatever you're facing, thankfulness offers something to God that is combined with faith that is absolutely beautiful to Him. And it's in that place that we begin to remind ourselves that God is actually good. That what we're experiencing right now is part of being part of a broken and fallen world. It is part of what we may not understand. And I want to read a verse out of Philippians 4. It should come up on the screen behind. And this is just really helpful in these moments. It says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I love that last verse. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." You see, we live in a world right now that fights and works hard to find answers for everything. We want to understand and we want to seek to have the intellectual understanding of everything. And part of the mystery of faith and following God is we don't get all the answers. That peace that transcends all understanding, sometimes it only comes when we give up our right to understand. I want to say that again. Sometimes that peace that transcends understanding only comes when we give up our right to understand. We may not understand everything in this life. And in hindsight, when we're in eternity, when we're with Him, we'll get to understand all that's going on. But it's the essence of faith in the moments of difficulty and challenge that we get to give up our right to understand and to be thankful. You see, when we read through the book of Psalms, David modeled this every time. When you read a psalm, there's lots of psalms throughout the book of Psalms. I'm saying that word psalm quite a lot, repeating myself. The book of Psalms is filled with lots of prayers of David. And what you often find, the pattern that he had was giving thanks. But what he also did is he acknowledged the challenge, the pain, the suffering. David was quite honest with his emotions and feelings. And as I said at the very start, God wants to relate to us as Father, and so he's not not afraid of our pain and our suffering. Actually, it's important that we are honest with that, honest about how we feel. We don't want to put our emotions aside and say, God, it's all good, I just want to worship you. I'm like, hey, God, you're amazing. This is really difficult. And as David always did, he finished with thanksgiving. And there's something about the honesty and authenticity that we need to bring into that relationship. And my sense this morning is that God wanted to reconnect some relationships with God. That where you've experienced something in life where it's just been like, oh, I don't know what to do with that question. It's almost like a roadblock in your heart. And where that stopped you here, but you've continued the activity. Because we can all go to church and we can all show up and we can all do the right stuff. But God was really after our hearts. He wants a personal relationship. And I felt like this morning that God actually wanted to begin to bring some healing to that. And so as we close this morning, I would want to invite you to stand and we're going to pray together. I want to read this psalm over us. And then Annalena and the guys are going to come. So I'm going to read the famous psalm. How many of you guys know Psalm 23? It's probably the most read psalm. We've got a good one at the back. And I want to just read this as a pattern of how we should pray in moments of difficulty. This is David reading this at, I think, at a time. And watch how he starts the psalm. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I won't fear any evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I love that, Sam, because right through that is moments of the darkest valley, right in the presence of my enemies when I feel oppressed and pushed at all sides. He still declares the goodness of God, and that's what God invites us to do. That's what it means to live a life of faith. And so we're just going to take a moment to pray. If you want to close your eyes, feel free to do so. You might want to put your hands out in front of you, whatever you feel comfortable. I'm just going to invite God to come and minister that word to us. I'll be honest this morning, part of that's just for me to remind myself that I need to declare the goodness of God. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your presence. Would You come right now and minister to our hearts? Yeah. And would You really heal right now? Where there's a hardness or a blockage, where something has happened. We're being discouraged. Where it's kind of set us off track and we've lost that intimacy, that relationship with You. Yeah, come, Holy Spirit. Thank You. Yeah, thank You, Father. Why don't we just take a moment just to be thankful in your own heart. As you probably feel that sense of whatever you've lost or whatever has been difficult and challenging. I just want to invite you in this moment. Why don't you just begin, maybe in your own thoughts, own mind, you could say it out loud. Why don't you begin to be thankful, just as Carol had the children this morning, cultivating that habit of thankfulness, because it's not really about what we feel. It's a habit. And so, Father, we're thankful. Why don't you just begin to do that in your own for a few minutes, and then the guys are going to lead us in a song.